Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Good Life, food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. I'm glad you stopped by KNSS every Saturday here, noon to one. It's all about food, wine, and fun for your ears. And, man, it's just it's a treat to, for me to be a part of it, and I hope you enjoy the program as well. I'm looking out the window at beautiful Table Rock Lake. Yeah, I wish I was in the studio. No, I don't. I'm happy to be here. Are you kidding? Great friends and having a lot of great food and wine, and we're going to do a lot of fun stuff the rest of this week or this coming week. The program today is so cool. A guy likes Indian food. Okay, they should sponsor my program, but if you haven't been to Kebabs on North Rock Road behind Jimmy's Diner, you're out where the buses don't run, you don't have a clue. Fix it. Go to Kebabs. Go do the lunch buffet because then you can try so many different things, and you'll know why I like it when you walk in, because if you go to any Indian restaurant of quality, the aromatics when you walk in the door are so pronounced and different and unique and captivating that you'll like that. Now, I like to cook at home, and I've made a stab at cooking Indian food, and I must tell you, I haven't had that good of luck. However, I got this new book. It's called Deepa's Secrets, Slow Carb New Indian Cuisine, by my guest, Deepa Thomas. Deepa is born and raised in New Delhi. She founded Deepa Textiles, a $10 million enterprise that won 23 design awards. In 2010, though, she kind of took a different path, and she embraced her newfound passion in cooking, and that led to writing this book, Deepa's Secrets. And it really is an opportunity to take Indian cuisine, which can be somewhat, think butter chicken, rich and creamy and high in calories and fat content, into something else. And she's nice enough to spend some time with us here today at KNSS. Deepa, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Guy. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, first off, congratulations. And I think a big hearty thank you to the publisher who allowed you, Skyhorse Publishing, to use so many great pictures and put together such a beautiful book. So congrats.
Thank you. Yes, indeed, because we all know we eat with our eyes first,
yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, what we see, Deepa, looks,
yeah,
beautiful.
Absolutely, and the pictures are so good. I just wish that the pictures that showing some of your spice blends, and I wish they were scratch and sniff.
Thank you. They can be,
yeah,
in your kitchen.
All right. There you go. And that's that. Isn't that really the best place you should have those?
Uh-huh.
Deepa, I'd like you to take us back. Obviously, growing up in New Delhi and of Indian family and a lot of family influence in the kitchen and things, but you didn't get that interested in food till late. Kind of give us give us your life story. You've got about 30 minutes.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I think the book, I share some of the critical points in my life that changed everything, and I think a lot of us will identify with happy accidents. And let's talk about the happy ones. There are the not so happy ones as well, but the happy ones led me from an idyllic life in New Delhi. I thought everyone grew up with a large kitchen staff, and you rang a bell and someone came. Well, was I in for a rude shock when I arrived on Stanford campus, married to a man I knew for less than 2 hours in an arranged marriage, who is the muse in this book and the reason I wrote it. It's 44 years later, and I learned to cook in America after scorching my first meal that I made for my new husband. And we can go on from there, but I've always been, since I was trained as an investigative journalist in India, and my passion is painting and all things art. I had a chance to bring those two points together, both in the founding of my textile company that I ran for 22 years, but now the same question, is there a way we can get healthy without any suffering? Because I'm a Leo, and we don't like suffering. So there's no question about cutting back this and doing without that. But is there a way to get healthy and enjoy what we're eating and bump up the flavor? So we all know the questions we pose to ourselves. The more chiseled they are, the better the answers. And so that was my question, and thank you for pointing out. And I'm just going to speed forward because I invite your listeners to read the stories that I've written in the book so that you get the point. I am trying to demystify this very delicious but mostly exotic cuisine in America. It does not have to be exotic, I found. It's just very flavorful. And most importantly, what I discovered here in my American life was a journey back to Indian history and finding out that 3,000 years ago, India had already discovered through what they call Ayurveda, the science of plant-based diet, that all disease, not some, starts in an unhealthy digestive tract in the gut. Now, gut knowledge, gut health, this is now stuff of science today, and you'll find many scientific journals and newspapers, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, is written extensively from people like Michael Pollan and other luminaries. But India knew this 3,000 years ago, that food is medicine, and that, I like to say, our bodies are dying to heal. And if we treat it right, it's an amazing machine that survives for a very long time. But back to why I entered this cuisine was my husband was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Now, India, unfortunately, is the diabetic capital of the world. So this was a matter of great concern for me that not only was my husband's family diabetic, but it was a national epidemic. And now in the U.S., one-third of the adult population is obese or diabetic, and I had to find out why. So digging into my native land's cuisine, we all have come to love, as I said, the incredible flavors. But what I discovered is also high carbohydrate, as in the rices and the breads and the potatoes we all love. But in addition, what we did to our food along the way to make them shelf-stable, overly refined carbs. I think it was Michael Pollan who said, eat food your grandmother would recognize. Well, she definitely would not recognize what we've done to wheat today or how highly we've processed other foods and stripped them of all nutrient value. And so this became the departure point for me. Can I, without being excommunicated from India, challenge our cuisine to get rid of the carbohydrates, but in doing so, bump up flavor so you don't actually miss it. And if you're interested, I can tell you a little more about the trick I pulled off, which I call a secret, on my own husband.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
So,
you know, go ahead. I didn't mean to step on you. Sorry.
Not at all. Just quickly, it was this diagnosis of type 2 diabetes, and he had been on insulin shots twice a day for 10 years. So for me to enter the arena, not as a doctor, but having just signed up with a new general physician in San Francisco at UCSF, who happens to be, I Googled him, Dr. Bobby Barron, a leading expert in weight loss and blood sugar control, etc. I thought, aha, well, there's something I can ask him about. And that led to, at his recommendation, research on what foods are high in the glycemic index. I talk about it in my book, not to make your eyes roll over, but in a very layman's language, so that we understand that the secret lies in keeping blood sugar steady with smaller meals frequently through the day, avoiding sugar spikes, whether we want to lose weight or get off of or control diabetes. It's the same journey of understanding the glycemic index and the glycemic load. And so I switched out the foods my husband loved, just took the refined carbs out. For instance, if I took rice out, I still made a delicious biryani or a pilaf using heritage barley. Mm. And that was the trick, because he didn't even realize I'd switched out the rice. The flavor was so amazing. I cooked in layers of flavor, the ending flavor of caramelized onions or toasted nuts or an Indian gremolata, all recipes in my book, made it capture the mouthfeel that traditional Indian food had. And it was less than 5 days that he forgot to take his insulin shot. Now, that is grounds for panic in the Thomas household. And Thomas is our last name, as in Doubting Thomas. So, and his blood sugar was normal. So we immediately thought that the monitor was broken, went off to the nearest pharmacy, got another monitor. Blood sugar stayed normal for a guy who'd never had normal blood sugar in 10 years. So this was making me concerned that maybe I'd done something wrong. I mean, something's off. So I called Bobby Barron, and the rest is history, because he said, Mrs. Thomas, you better document what you did. There are 3 million Indians in America, adults, and 50% are diabetic. And the general population in America, it's growing to epidemic levels with obesity runaway rampant. And the causes of obesity and the connection to diabetes are very important. But as I said early on, there was no way I was going to make this a punitive diet. It had to, the rule is, take one ingredient out, like a refined carb, bump it up in flavor so you don't miss it. And I've served my food to Michelin star chefs. You can see that I'm certifiably nuts. And to the former Chief Justice of California, Ron George, who asked for leftovers. So this is not a diet. It's a lifestyle shift. Champy, my husband, I'm happy to say, is now almost 5 years off of insulin, lost 25-plus pounds in the first 3 months, still maintains that weight with a minimal amount of exercise, but really enjoying delicious food that the ingredients are so gut-friendly, and it reduces inflammation, which is the root cause of so much illness.
Wow. Well, I think of all the ethnic cuisines in the world, as hard as you worked and to do what you did and keep flavor and aromatics and texture, Indian food probably has the best chance of doing that because of all the different dried and fresh seasonings and spices that are used. And I can't wait. I haven't had an opportunity to cook from the book yet, but I intend to do that, and I can't wait. Some of the recipes are so good. What would you say if someone said, what is the biggest difference between traditional Indian cuisine and some of the minor tweaks? You said, you know, eliminating sugars or the starches of rice and potatoes, but you're still able to get that the texture and the flavor and the things that make us happy when we sit down at the table.
That's correct. And I think we talked about the difference in the glycemic factor between my new Indian cuisine and the traditional. But more importantly, I think traditional Indian cuisine was invented in kitchens that were well-staffed. There was always someone helping the person cooking. And so it was incredibly labor-intensive, I found, the traditional Indian cooking. Not to say anything about exotic and ununderstandable, when it gets so involved and some of the ingredients one can't even pronounce. So what I did was absolutely demand of myself that I pay homage to the land that I'm a citizen of America, and bring in the best practices of other cuisines, world cuisines, that make it easier to cook and capture the flavors of Indian cooking without all the intense labor. And yes, I strip it off the refined carbs, but as I said, you will likely not miss the rice and the bread when you taste some of the flavors that I bring into my recipes. In layers, I like to say you can save any dish except if you burn garlic. Then you start again. But other than that, most everything is rescuable, and I teach my secrets and share the little tricks that can save anything, even for a novice. And one just, if we get the principles of what I'm trying to share, then I recommend off-booking, meaning you get the basics, and then you go off-book, and don't be afraid to innovate.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I have so many questions. We're not going to have enough time, I know that, but I appreciate you being a part of the program today. Folks, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Deepa Thomas. Her book is Deepa's Secrets. We'll tell you what the secrets part is after this short break. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.